Let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in the sight of God, who is our strength and our Redeemer, so that we would trust in the Lord with all of our heart, lean not on our own understanding, and rely not on our own insight. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful for this opportunity to pause in the midst of our daily schedule of activities to join in worship and praise. Make us ever conscious of the reality of your presence as we turn our hearts and minds to thee. We thank thee for the experiences that we are allowed to share as members of this seminary community. We ask your richest blessings on all who are a part of this community, and ask that you might guide our ways in all of our endeavors during the course of this year. We pray that this year may be a year of profit and growth in our learning experience, but more importantly, may it be a year that brings a growing maturity in the deepening of our faith, in our search for truth, in our expression of love for our fellow man, and in all of our commitments and responsibilities as disciples of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray, and for his sake. Amen. Following our anthem, Ken Alton, the chairman of our Ethics Committee for the Student Council, will bring us our message. When the Christian ministry is viewed from the attributes of responsibility and responsiveness. And in light of the scripture passages that you read and hopefully will apply to your lives, this Christian ministry must not be weighted with vocational limitations. By this I am saying, every Christian is a minister, regardless of his vocation. If these remarks were being offered to persons in a wide range of vocational endeavors, the essence of Christian ministry would still hold true. Every Christian is a minister. Of course, it is understood that one's vocation will shed light upon and possibly influence the opportunities of ministry made available in one's environment. The nature of our seminary family, in part, affords us the privilege of community with persons engaged in the continual preparation for vocational Christian ministry. The efforts of our continual preparation will be expressed, and in many cases are now being expressed, through the work in local parishes, administrative duties, teaching positions, chaplaincy or missionary appointments, or many other areas of vocational Christian ministry. Even in the uniqueness of our seminary situation, it is felt the concept remains intact. Every Christian is a minister. We are not ministers on the basis of our vocational choice, but we are ministers because of an initial experience and a continual relationship with a man called Christ. Regardless of our place of service at this moment, we must exercise a responsible ministry. Thomas Huxley once said, "The sense of uselessness is the severest shock which the human system can sustain." All of us need to add to our inner resources so that we may withstand any sense of uselessness and make a worthy contribution wherever we are. We dare not be content to simply receive a faith and a heritage from those who have gone before us. We need to discover that God is relying on us to add to the record things and duties and actions which are honorable to Him, encouraging to our peers, and an inspiration to those who shall come after us. With a responsible and a purposeful attitude, we ought also to write a new chapter to the book of Acts. Bishop Kenneth Goodson of the United Methodist Church once spoke of a senior minister with whom he had worked. He said the senior minister was a marvelous and amazing man who went into the pulpit for a reason. And after he had preached, everyone knew why he had gone into the pulpit. This particular minister is further characterized by the bishop as being a man, having found out something had never been done before, took great delight in doing it with patience and care. Beginning his work in a particular parish, the minister on occasion started to open some sliding doors into a room to what the congregation labeled the prayer meeting room. The church hostess spoke to him in an instant term and said, "Doctor, don't open those doors." "Why?" he asked. And an established reply came forth. "Oh, sir, they have never been opened before." In the larger context of this simple thought, a Christian who is afraid to open a door that has never been opened before has nothing significant to offer in our day. A Christian engaged in responsible ministry will venture through new doors of opportunity, realizing, as the psalmist, "The Lord will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in
from this time forth and forevermore. The responsive nature of Christian ministry comes not from inner resources, but from the relationships of those to whom and with whom we minister. Any valid ministry of Christian persons must include a relationship to the world. The Christians who make up the church dare not isolate themselves and ignore the needs of mankind. We need to be responsive to the encouraging and the discouraging attitudes of persons within the environment of our ministry. In the realm of discouraging attitudes, we must be responsive with a therapeutic forgiveness. This is not a mere forgive and forget frame of mind, but rather such forgiveness requires a disciplined effort of reconciliation that, when nourished, has the opportunity for growth toward maturity. We also must be responsive to those who encourage us as we are about our business of ministry. Such encouragement is usually not a simple pat on the back type of gesture, but rather it is an attitude and an expressed action of Christian concern. Richard Baxter, the 17th century English clergyman in the Kidderminster parish, has spoken of the responsive relationship that existed within his congregation. He said, "Many a time I have been brought very low and received the sentence of death in myself when my poor, honest, praying neighbors have met, and upon their fasting and earnest prayers, I have been recovered." Baxter's responsiveness through ministry extended to his fellow ministers and his peers. For on occasion he said, "I remember myself that when I was young, I had sometime the company of one godly minister who did profit me more than most, because he would never in prayer or conference speak of God or the life to come, but with such marvelous seriousness and reverence as if he had seen the majesty and glory of which he talked." Within our seminary family, as this new year begins, every Christian must enact a responsible and a responsive ministry in order to stimulate koinonia in the life of this campus. Perhaps an unknown poet has said it best. "I sought myself, but myself I could not see. I sought my God, but my God eluded me. I sought my brother, and I found all three." In the name of Jesus Christ, may we go in peace.